This is Albert Grande from PizzaTherapy.com and LegendsOfPizza.com. I am pleased to present to you Legends of Pizza Volume 3, the Evelyn Sloman Lost Interviews. These were interviews I had done a while ago with Evelyn, and my hard drive crashed. I had to recreate the files, pull them back, put them back together, and do a bunch of editing to get them to sound fairly coherent. You are going to hear some incredible pizza secrets in these interviews. Evelyn holds nothing back. She talks about working with the Lombardi's, the Totono's, New York Pizza, and some secrets of making incredible pizza. Also, listen to Evelyn as she talks about the importance of water in making pizza. I really think you're going to enjoy these interviews. This is sponsored by the Pizza Therapy Pizza Book. You can find it at pizzatherapy.com. That's http://pizzatherapy.com. Just look for a link for the Pizza Therapy Pizza Book. I present to you now Legends of Pizza Volume 3, the Evelyn Sloman Lost Interviews. You knew the Lombardi families and the Totono's. You made pizza with them, correct? And so let's cut to the chase, Evelyn. How about some tricks? What did you learn from these guys that you can share with me?
Well, you know, first of all, for them, it was just their life. It kind of like flowed out of their fingers. They pretty much, it was through touch and feel. They used all their senses. And that's how they taught me how to make pizza. I would say loosely used measurement. I mean, loosely. They dumped a bag of flour in there and they're using the same old beat up utensil for, you know, adding the water to it, a little bit more, a little bit less, depending on, there would be all these barometers of days, temperature, the season, and because these people have an incredible history, summation of all the days of their lives that they've been making dough every day. And it's amazing how they were so intuitive about being able to just adjust something every day. Because of the way the weather was or the way, what season it was. It could be very humid one day or it could be super dry. And so they would adjust accordingly. And what they were going for was a particular feel. And also they used their ears. And that taught me how to do that too, where you listen to the dough. You listen to the noises that the mixer makes. And so this is how I learned how to make pizza.
It doesn't sound very scientific.
It's not scientific. It wasn't scientific at all. It wasn't scientific at all. And in fact, it took me, I was pretty good at it while I was in New York City doing it the same way they taught me. But I was, the dough ruled me. I did not rule the dough. You know, only starting out, I didn't have the 50 years experience that they had. But that bugged me, and I was very enthralled with the bread movement that was happening in Berkeley, and which is why I ended up here, and what was going on with artisan bread, and I was a student of that, and I was reading Calvel in French and thinking, why can't I apply some of this stuff to pizza making? And so I was messing around with all of that well into the 80s. Of playing around with longer fermentation, very long fermentation, high hydration dough. I was playing around with pre-ferments and got to go to Italy in 1991, be the first American judge of the World Championship Pizza Contest. There I learned that they were giving their dough what they called a riposo, which means a rest, the pizza makers. Now, I had been doing this on my own, because I had read about it from Calvel, which he called the auto lead. And so I was doing it very informally because I thought it improved the mixing capacity and I didn't know in those days, you know, about gluten formation and all of that. I just thought, well, it works better, you know. I saw all of these guys using this technique in Italy. I thought, well, there must be something to this. And around the same time, I joined Bread Baking Guild and really started to get into the whole scientific aspect of it. It wouldn't be until I was asked by Tom Lehman to teach at the American Institute of Baking that I would have my what I call scientific epiphany. And it seems that Tom had been trying to reverse engineer my recipe for years and couldn't do it. Had absolutely no clue of what I was doing. And apparently he had been, well, not he personally, but the American Institute of Baking had been paid a very large sum of money to try and reverse engineer my recipe, and they couldn't do it. They had people coming in looking at the flour and trying, you know, bringing pizzas back and trying to analyze the pizzas, and they figure it out is because this is where commercial pizza had come to at that point, that they couldn't figure out the original recipe for flour, water, yeast, and salt. And fermentation. Absolutely not figure it out, because if you looked at any kind of commercial pizza recipe, or most commercial pizza recipes at that time, they had a lot longer list of ingredients than mine. And so he asked me, what is it that you do? I said, well, it's not what I do, it's what I don't do. And I explained to him what I did. And, wow, that's remarkable. And so, that was a great meeting of mine, because after I went through the program there, I learned all about the chemistry and the science behind everything. And for the first time in my life, I ruled the dough. I mean, it can still kick your butt on any given day, but I can be quick on the return. Where, okay, but it's not going to kick my butt tomorrow, because I'm going to figure this out.
Okay. So what are the secrets, Evelyn? What did you learn? What don't you do? What did you do?
Well, let's put it this way. I learned about what really made gluten work and how it works. And I learned about baker's percentages. And I also learned, it busted the myth of, well, you know, it's all in the water, and I mean, there were so many secrets that the old timers would tell you, and it just busts all those myths that I can't make New York pizza in California because of the water, and I don't have it.
Let's talk about the water myth for a second. What do you think? Is it the water or not the water?
It would only be the water if the water were incredibly hard or incredibly soft, or it had some distinctive mineral taste. Probably wouldn't be very good.
Okay.
Other than that, no.
So you're debunking the water myth. It's not the water. Okay, so what about the flour? High gluten flour or not a high gluten flour?
Flour is the key ingredient to pizza. It is everything to pizza, and that is the one ingredient that if you change any aspect of it, you will have to readjust the recipe. Flour. You're asking me. I mean, you know, I've done thousands and thousands of recipes for people. All different kinds of recipes for any different kind of pizza. I could tell you what I use personally for mine, but specifically, different flours are specific to different types of crust types, different types of crust formulation.
Sure. What type do you use, Evelyn?
What I've done over the years is, you know, I still am true to my roots, which was to use a lower gluten flour. At the time, because then that's a trick that I learned from Titano, from Jerry Perot. Because the Lombardi's they had already used the recipe, a high gluten content, you know, they were using, which was what most pizza places were doing. I would say after the war, when flour became plentiful, most pizza places in New York were using high gluten, which is bread flour, 15%, 14.5 to 15%. But, Titano's recipe was really still the same recipe that the original Lombardi formula was based on. And also the flour that they were getting in the 19th century was locally milled from the Northeast. And it wasn't from the areas that we get flour from today, where we're growing these super flours, which are wonderful flours, very, very high gluten, or very high quality gluten. And so this type of flour that they were using had more tender qualities to it. And also I knew that the Europeans also used a lower gluten content flour, around 12%. The Italians and the French used the same type of. So I was using that. I've always used that type of flour. When I was first making pizza in New York in the 80s, in the early 80s there, I was using a very, very little known, very tiny, obscure flour that came from the Northeast that, you know, that General Mills produced. I had heard from Joe Timponi of Santarpio's was one of the flours that he used. And so I was using Rex Royal. Rex Royal, still available.
Uh-huh.
Hard to get.
Is it, well, what do you use today? You're not using Rex Royal?
Oh, no. Pizza is a, I thank you for sending me the, you know, your other interviews. It was wonderful because it just confirms the way I feel about pizza. And I think that any great pizza maker or anybody who it's their life, it's an ongoing organic thing. And you're constantly tweaking. I never look at it as, well, this is the end, this is the best it's going to be, and that's it. Because then something else comes along, or I think about something else, and I think, mm-hmm. There's always that, no, my recipe has evolved, my own personal recipe has evolved many, many, many times over the years. I use an organic flour, and it's Giusto's, and I started using that when I moved to California. Things had to change very drastically when I moved from New York to California. I couldn't get the same ingredients. I had been using all San Marzano tomatoes. I was making my own cheese, and I was using the Rex Royal. When I moved to California in 1989, I didn't have Rex Royal anymore. And I could get San Marzano tomatoes, but they were prohibitive, and I wasn't making my own cheese at the time. So I scoped out the California tomatoes by going and visiting Stanislaus Foods, Desto. And there I was able to trace the tomato from the farm all the way through, how they processed it. And how they processed it, which was different from anybody else or from most people, was it was called Fresh Pack. Fresh Pack means that the factory, first of all, is only open during processing time, from the springtime until October. And then it's closed for the rest of the year. They pick the tomatoes, and they put them in the can. They process them pretty much like your grandmother would. What that does is that the enemy of tomatoes is heat. And most places subject the tomatoes to a much higher heat because what they do is they cook them down into a concentrate, like orange juice. And that concentrate is saved until they need to reconstitute it to make whatever tomato products they want to make. In the Fresh Pack process, the tomatoes are simply heated enough in the can to process, and that's it. So they retain their color and the texture and the fresh tomato flavor. I was the first to write about that in Pizza Today magazine. It caused a lot of controversy with the with the advertisers. They didn't exactly appreciate that because most people were using remanufactured tomatoes. And so that's where I began to resource out my ingredients for making pizza when I moved out here and became very interested in the flour and pretty much started using Giusto's right off the bat because they were a local miller, small miller. They were providing flour to a lot of the artisan people making bread. And so I was using their flours that they were selling for bread. There was no pizza flour. And in fact, I've never used pizza flour.
Okay.
for my pizza.
So it's a low gluten flour.
It was low gluten. At the time, they didn't have an organic one. And pretty much recreated my recipe, but each time I've messed with the recipe, it gets better and better. I add a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and I felt that their flour, the quality of the flour, the quality of the wheat, was way better than what I was using from Rex Royal. And so each time it was, it raises it up a hair, but for us pizza makers, it's a lot.
Yeah.
improvements. It's a big thing.
Sure, sure. So you flour, salt, yeast, and water. That's it for your pizza dough. And you, what about pre-ferment? You make it the day before?
Day before.
Okay. So you mix all your ingredients together, you make it the day before. How long do you let it proof?
Well, basically, I make it the day before.
You've been listening to Legends of Pizza, Volume 3, the Evelyn Sloman Lost Interviews. This was Part 3 in a series. This interview was sponsored by Legends of Pizza, Volume 1 and Legends of Pizza, Volume 2. You can find them at Legends of Pizza, that's http://legendsofpizza.com. You can purchase the interviews, Volume 1 and 2, or the ebook. This is Albert Grande, and I say to you, pizza on earth, goodwill to all.